Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We're located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park. Love to have you come and stop in and see our great, big, beautiful new yard and our building. We'd love to have you visit us. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay. We're in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also are able to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. And if you would like to put a face with a voice, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today is Mark Reese, and he is the owner and president. He's a funeral director for the Heritage Funeral Home. And I just thought that there's been so many things going on in my own life and talking with clients and people, and it's always sort of a misnomer, like, what do you have to do to plan for a funeral, and what is the impact on families and people? And I thought, this is really a great time for us just to talk a little bit with an expert about some of the things that families are facing and some of the things that they can do to be better organized. Because the truth of it is, when I sit down and I talk to people, they often will say, well, if I die. But the truth of it is, we're all going to die. And, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing, even for myself, and I work with this all the time, but talking with my own kids, they don't really want to talk about it. And my grandkids particularly, oh, Nana, don't even bring that up. But the truth of it is that it is something that's really important to have a discussion about and at least to start planning in our own minds. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
You know, Mark, this whole idea with funeral planning is kind of hard for sometimes people to get their arms around. But the reason I wanted to do this is because we really don't know when something's going to happen. We don't really have an idea when that calling's going to come. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the things that people need to know that they don't even know they need to know. And I know you've been in this business for a very long time. You like what you do. It's been a history in your entire family. So you've seen the ups and downs of the things that have happened in the world as well and the impact. So if you can give us some insight into the whole concept of funeral homes and, you know, are they all the same? And what do people really need to know?
Well, the thing of it is I'm a third generation funeral director. My grandfather started our funeral home on the south side of Milwaukee in 1934. And since then, you know, my dad and my uncle and my cousin, and now there's a fourth generation behind me, my cousin's boy. And we're very proud of a history.
Yes.
And that history comes from the experience. You know, been doing it 43 years and things have changed. I giggle when somebody asks me very often, well, I'm never going to die. They say it. They come right out and say it. And I say, are you sure about that? You know, unless the Lord's coming back before then. That's for sure.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, I'll be talking to clients. And one of the things is after we're done with our planning, the last piece that we do is we call it end of life planning. And we talk about, you know, the most important things for people to have, of course, our powers of attorney for health care, planning, living wills. But A lot of times what people will say to me is, I don't really care. I'm gone. They can do what they want with me. They can float me down the river for all I care. You really can't do that.
No, you can't. Yeah, men say that so very often. Just put me where I deer hunt. Just leave me there forever. Absolutely.
Yep. So give me an idea. I know one of the things that we had talked about, are all funeral homes the same?
Yes, they are not. So very often, the funeral homes, it's truly all about people. Anybody can do a funeral, but how good can they do a funeral? And with a heart. The people that we have working with and for us are kind, and they have a servant heart, and that means the world to people. You know, Karen, I got to share with you that there are so many people that have family issues. You do that end of life in preparation to your financial things.
Right.
Okay, but you see, people don't understand. They've been sleeping together for 50 years or 60 years, and they never talked about what kind of funeral do they want? What kind of a celebration? Do they want a celebration? And I'm not talking about ham or roast beef. I'm talking about a visitation, a funeral, a celebration of life. Do you want something at church? There are so many different facets to a funeral you just wouldn't imagine. You talked about your own family and the kids and Nana. I got to share with you that there are people out there and family members, your kids don't agree 100% on things. And when you're gone, all of a sudden, they have to discuss what's going to happen. When, where, how? What do you think Mom would have wanted? And really, is this about Mom? No, it's about you, but it's for them. What they need to say goodbye. What do they need to say goodbye? I think that's the important part. And so what we try to do is try to personalize those things every step of the way.
When you're meeting with a client and, you know, you get that call, and I think that's the scariest part, is there's been a tragic accident, something has happened, and a funeral has to be planned immediately.
Mm-hmm.
What are the steps that people should be thinking about?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it is those kinds of funerals that are really the hardest on people. You know, they...
And children.
And children.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, there's been a lot of written things about fentanyl lately and talking on the radio, quite frankly. And it's really true, and it's scary. And they're good, kind, loving families so very often that are just taken surprised, and they're beat down. And quite frankly, there's embarrassment that goes along with that.
And
how do you walk with them and step them through all these different things? And then you throw into guilt. Yeah, you throw in anger.
Shame.
And shame. And you also have people that are fighting. And I'll tell you, you know, I know we're going to talk about pre-planning a little later. The thing of it is families fight all the time, and there's a lot of families that can't even be in the same room with each other, and the air is blue. I walk in there, and I have my shirt, my tie on, and you can just feel the tension,
the energy
in the air, and it's bad energy.
Well, you know, for people listening, and there are families like that, and I certainly come across that as well. And I always think that whatever was in your family history, however the kids interacted when they were younger and even old, it all comes out when somebody gets sick, and particularly at the funeral. And so often there are the issues about buried and all that, but there's also the issues that come out about the estate plan and who's in charge and who gets to make the decisions. And I know there's two different sides to it. So there's the side of the person who has passed away. And I do remember one story of a client who the kids went to the funeral home after the dad was ready just to have their own private visitation.
Right.
And they said, "Where's dad's glasses?" And the mortician, said,
yes.
Well, your dad, right here in his notes, he doesn't want his glasses because he looks younger without them. And they said, but he doesn't look like our dad.
Exactly. Yep.
We want the glasses on our dad. And those are the kinds of things. And for me, I've been telling my daughter for years, when I die, put fasting at last on my gravestone. And one day we were talking to a client, and I said, well, I want to be cremated. And we get out of the room, and she goes, Mom, you've been telling me you want a headstone with fasting and last on it. So we say things and our kids hear them, but it doesn't necessarily always mean exactly what we want. I thought I was being funny.
See? And you know, the thing of it is, again, I go back to saying, the funeral is about you, but it's not for you.
Yes.
It really, truly is for them. It's for the kids. It's for those grandchildren, you know. And how will they be able to say goodbye? How can they do that?
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the first things? I mean, I know I had put a list together that, you know, people have to go to the funeral parlor. And I know we can talk about all the final expenses, but, you know, do you pick out a casket? Do you pick out an urn? There's hearse services and limousine services and funeral direction services, embalming, dressing, cosmetology, funeral home services, burial plots, cemetery services and fees, headstones, obituary notices, flowers, death certificates, luncheon. There's making those boards if you want them. Music. I mean, every time I go to a funeral, I write it on a piece of paper. I want this song. I hear something new. I don't even know where they all are.
Exactly.
But mm-hmm. And then if you have verses or so.
Poems.
You can probably give 100 more things that people have to consider. But if you haven't considered it, it seems like a lot to do on the fly.
Yes. Once upon a time, I did a radio commercial about comparing a funeral to a wedding in regards to all of the planning that it takes. All the planning for a wedding, you know, can take a year, right? Year and a half. For a funeral, what do you got? You got a couple of days, maybe a week at the very most. And so there's a lot of pressure on the family at that particular time, and you throw in all those other outside factors, weather and travel and the wishes, and whose wishes are we truly following at that point?
Mm-hmm.
They're not on the same page. Even couples, you know, whether it's simple. On your list, you mentioned a casket. Well, are we having a viewing with the body mm-hmm. present? Will the body be present? Or did you want a memorial service, a service where the body is not there, just pictures, and maybe the cremains, if that person's being cremated. So there's burial, entombment, cremation, and all those different factors that come into play.
My guest today is Mark Reese, and he is the owner and president. He's a licensed funeral director with Heritage Funeral Home, which is located right, you're on the south side.
We
right?
are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you would like, grab a pencil, because when you come back, we'll be giving out the phone number so that you can give any personal calls that you might have. And of course, you know, doing the radio show for this, 35, 36 years, you know that it's all about education, and what we really want to do today is just sort of turn on a little light so that you can start thinking about some of these things, because really, if you can do it during your lifetime, it's so much easier than having your kids step in and try to figure out what it is that you wanted and also what it is that they would like. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellen Becker. My guest today is Mark Reese, and he is the owner and president of the licensed funeral and a licensed funeral director, and that's the Heritage Funeral Home. And if you would like to call him with some personal questions, you can do that at 414-761-2750. You know, Mark, this isn't the topic that everybody wants to talk about. And as I said, even in my own family, it's a tough one, and it often leads to so many other things that are tough, like who gets what, And, you know, the whole conversation opens up all of a sudden. And kids get, you know, kids keep tracked. Kids have a list of who gets what, who got what, who should make the decisions, who shouldn't make the decisions. And it can be very complicated. So having these conversations as a family are really critical and very important. And one of the first things that I know people have to ask themselves is, where should the body go?
Exactly.
I mean, doesn't the hospital give you a certain period of time and say, you got to tell us where it goes?
That's correct. And before you go into any kind of a nursing home or any kind of a facility, they want you to have the name of your funeral home listed. And then they struggle because if they don't have one picked out. Normally, I'll be honest, it's for generations. We've been burying these folks forever and ever. I'm from the 30s, from the 1930s. I'll hear stories. Yes, Mark, your grandpa buried my aunt so-and-so on 33rd and Lincoln so very many years ago. And they come back. They come back generations and generations.
It's their funeral home.
It's their family funeral home. Yes. Exactly. That is correct. And I know that once we get our foot in the door with that family, they'll be back again. They will be. They'll be pleased. But it's hard. It's a competitive business. A lot of times it's location, too. Location, 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 you know, where you're located.
What does the family need to consider when they're talking about to have a casket? So they get to the funeral home and the body's there now, and, you know, it's like, what do people wear? And having their, I mean, I know I said to my hairdresser, I said, you'll do my hair when I die, right? He just looked at me like, really?
Yeah. And sometimes they do. And very often the families will do their own hair. That is, and because that's a big deal to some people. Absolutely. Or quite frankly, for the ladies, even doing somebody's nails for them. Make sure my mom's nails look good. So,
she always looked good. You got to keep her up in style here. And then what about families that are debating between cremation and burial? And I've had so many clients just say, I've got it all done, and really all they had was a plot.
That's correct. And that's what and that's exactly why I preach about that so very often. Oh yeah, we got it all taken care of. That's because they went to the cemetery and they bought two grave spaces. Well, okay, is it going to be a full body burial? Meaning, will a casket be in there? And if there is that body being buried in there, are we having a public viewing and a visitation? Does the family only want to see mom? And then we close the casket and then have a worship, whether it's at one of our buildings or whether it's at a church, if they belong to a church. The cremation is a little less expensive. Certainly it is. But you, just because you're being cremated, I don't know if you know this, just because you're being cremated, you don't have to have a view and a visitation, but you can with your body present. So instead of going to the burial or to the cemetery the next day, and then you rent a casket. Yes, absolutely.
That's interesting.
You rent a casket, and the foot end of that casket opens like this, and the inner casket comes right out, and that's what you're actually cremated in, and you're using that shell and reusing it. And it's, no one knows that it's a rental casket, just you, the family. That's
right.
Truly it. And they still have the opportunity to see their loved one and pay their respects, and then we can go to the cemetery at a later day after you've been cremated.
So, some of the things too that I know they need to think about is if their loved one was in the service.
Right, absolutely. In the state of Wisconsin, it's actually a real bargain. It's Southern Wisconsin Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Uni Grove, Wisconsin. It's out there, it's free. They give you a space. They give you the opening and the closing. They give you a vault. They give you a headstone. It saves a veteran's family thousands and thousands of dollars. And the spouse can be buried there, too, for $800 some dollars, I believe, for the spouse to be buried there also.
And I know that there's some specifics that they have insurance for burial and things like that, but you need to know that information when you're... when your father or your uncle or whoever it is or mother was in the service so that you can provide that to the funeral home as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we're proponents of pre-planning. And like I mentioned earlier, there's many couples that are married for 50 years and they've never talked about it. And that's kind of a sad situation. It really is. So
it's, you know, it's one of those things that nobody wants to think about dying. I mean, you know, nobody, and I know it's often very difficult for us to get our clients just to do estate planning and to think about it, because again, that's the foundation of a client's portfolio for us, knowing what they want.
Right.
And part of that is, of course, funeral planning and looking at what's that next step and who's going to step in and make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And I know for my own part, there's certain things that I would like to know are going to happen, but I do recognize that it's really for my kids and for their families as well.
See?
And grandparents, you know, as you're so close to grandkids, it used to be just your children. Now you've got grandchildren. I have great-grandchildren.
Oh, goodness. The stress is not just doing the funeral and the funeral work. What they're worried about is who's going to fold the towels. Who's going to clean the who's going to be cleaning the gutters and cutting the grass and writing the checks? So very often there's couples, there's guys out there that don't even know how to do a load of wash. and that all becomes so very evident when they walk into the funeral home, and you can just see how lost they are. And you got to have a heart. If you don't have a heart in this business, you don't belong here. And it's a servant.
Let's take another quick break. My guest is Mark Rice, and he is the owner and president of Heritage Funeral Home. We're here talking about the things that people really need to know. And, you know, there's always that list, that inventory of things that you need to know. But sometimes you don't even know the questions to ask. And as we've been talking, and Mark just talked, there's a lot going on between the lines, between picking out the casket and the color of the casket and what you're going to wear. There's all the other issues that parents and spouses and children are faced with that go along with a person passing away. And you had just mentioned, it's like, who's going to worry about the checks and the balances, and is mom okay by herself now in the house alone? All that's very emotional. And if you have this ability to take a step back and to talk to your family, talk to your parents, and resolve some of these questions beforehand, it'll make it so much easier. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. If you would like to learn more about our company, and I hope you would, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today is Mark Rice, and he is the owner and president of Heritage Funeral Home. It's been almost the fourth generation now of families that they have been able to serve in their own family. It's like one of our billboards says, let our family invest in yours. And in truth, that's what you're doing with the funeral home, too. You're investing in families and trying to, you know, when you have that history with a family, it helps you to, you know, the uncle, you know, the mom. It relieves some of the pressure, quite frankly, because you're talking and you can have a little bit of a laugh in there. I remember your uncle and this is what he did.
That's exactly correct.
You know, and that's the same with us. Mm-hmm. I know your mom, and, you know, she wouldn't mind that you want to do this with the money that you've inherited, or that looked like, well, it might not be quite what she was thinking. The Lamborghini wasn't exactly on her list. But it is. There is something very special about having that relationship and easing some of the questions and some of the stress when people are faced with someone that has passed away. when people come to you and they have to plan the funeral, there's two different things to talk about. There's the one where the parent is coming or the individual is coming and saying, I'd like to plan my funeral. And then there's the family who wasn't prepared that has to plan the funeral. Can you give some recommendations as the things that they might talk about and open up that conversation? Because if you've got a parent who doesn't want to talk about it, even a can opener doesn't work to get them going.
Right. Yeah, there's some people that just don't want to talk about it. And quite frankly, it's usually men. Men usually do not. Ladies, and I will give a shout out.
Well, we want our hair done. and our nails done.
And they want it done and planned ahead. Yes. So very often, it's the wife that brings the man in to talk about funerals and to take care of things. They're the organizers. They truly are, no doubt about it. The first thing is the options. You know, will you be, and do you know, if you're going to be buried, if you're going to be cremated, or if you're going to be placed into a crypt or in a tomb or entombment. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what your background is and where you're going. I know I have graves already. I want to be in the ground. It's 50 degrees all year round. It's quiet. We have crematories. We have our own crematories. We have two of them, and it's busy all the time. They are, but that's not for me. It's not for my wife and I. We've chosen others.
Yes.
And you know, it just kind of depends on what you want and how you feel as though you'd like. And are you on the same page with the kids or whoever's left to do it?
You know, you've got children now that are all different religions. Religion has taken a different turn where if you were Catholic, you were Catholic, but people are intermarrying, they're different religions, and all of a sudden you've got one child that says, I know mom and dad want to be cremated, but I can't do it. I can't do it. They've got to be buried. There is where the issue is, and a parent can sign a document that says they want to be buried or cremated, which really helps the kids. It takes the pressure off.
Right. That's exactly it. It's those documents that we want signed ahead of time.
Yes.
You know, so very often there's also the fact that those papers also say, where's the money going to come from to help pay for all of it, too?
So, and that document is the authorization for final disposition instructions. And you can do that right along with your documents. We do that with our clients. So
okay.
That they can. And if you change your mind, you change your mind.
Yes.
You know. Right.
We do that when we know that there's a ruffle within the family.
Yes.
Okay. When we know that something is, you know, they're not getting along together, you see, when we cremate a body, there's no going back saying anything happened, okay?
Right.
So we need to make sure everybody's on the same page before we cremate a body.
Well, now we've got second marriages, second wives, somebody's passed away. They have a burial site that had two stones, like you and your wife.
Yep.
Now there's a third wife.
Oh, yes.
Those must be complications.
It's her kids, their kids, and his kids. So it gets very, very complicated. And who's, you throw in son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, and everybody's got an opinion at that point, too.
Yes.
So it's good things to talk about and to set up ahead of time. And just visit. That's all you have to do. And then write them down. There's no doubt about that. And
on we would like that. On something other than a napkin.
Mm-hmm. exactly. No doubt.
Really a crazy thing.
It is.
So when you're thinking about people in the funeral home, do most people have do it at the church? Is that changing a little bit? What are some of the things that are different than what we experience as kids? I mean, I went to a Catholic school, and we'd have to go and sing at the funerals. I mean, it was a big deal. It was a full mass, and we would sing all the songs, and it was so different than now. That doesn't seem to happen as much.
It does not. And you know, today, and you know, this even goes into, I hate to say political things, but There's sometimes the kids won't even sing. The parents won't allow their kids to sing for a funeral because they don't want to see a dead body. They don't want their kids to see a dead body or to talk about that and know about this.
In the schools.
In the schools, yes. And those are parochial schools, yes, too. And not, you know, those are parochial schools.
I remember Sister Coronada, we'd all, yes, get in the pew, and then she had that little round pipe,
yes,
or that little black thing, and she'd play it and sound the music, and then we would start singing it. We would do all the songs for the funeral.
Yes. See, and don't you feel as though you grew up knowing and accepting and feeling more comforted, you know, being a part of that funeral instead of being scared? I think that in today's world, I think there's so many people that are raising their kids to try to shelter them, but in reality, I think they're just hurting them later. They're setting them up for a fault at a later time. You know.
Well, it's all about communication, and I think that with children and with and different cultures have different practices around burial. But I think when I look at growing up with that, we didn't talk about it in the school, though. We were just required to go, and we would see the casket and all the people, and you saw the sadness. And but it did have an impact, and I never thought of it as a negative impact. But it also, the schools weren't really good about talking about
they weren't
death.
Okay.
Either.
All right.
You know, they didn't talk about it in the Catholic school, for me at least, the school that I went to. But we didn't have to do homework when we went and sang. We didn't have to
It got you out of class. It got you out of class for an hour.
Got you out of class. But it was it actually, when I think back, it was they were beautiful ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And I just went to one just recently that was the High Mass. And the whole old fashioned, all the old songs, and it brought back so many memories. But people now, the life is too quickly. We've got microwaves and phones, and people don't take as much time.
They're in a hurry,
yeah. And that's why I think this whole planning and just you and I talking about it in a way that it's like you and I are having a cup of coffee, and we're just talking about the things that we've experienced. And I'm sure you have lots of stories that you can share about things that didn't go so well and things that went well.
I'll share a couple of stories here. When we go in a funeral procession, the priest or the minister is normally sitting right with me in the lead car. And the hearse is right behind, and the family's behind them. And you just would not believe in today's world how disrespected people are to us, how we are, they get mad, they shake their fists because we're going through a red light. They're in a hurry. They don't want that. And I think to myself, my goodness, don't you think you're going to be in the back of this car someday? Hey, think about what you're doing, really.
Yeah.
Are you really in that much of a hurry to get to where you are? And that it says something about the disrespect for the dead, quite frankly.
Right.
That's somebody's mother.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. So we have families that are at the other extreme. I remember, I grew up on the south side of Milwaukee. I remember the Catholics. We would drive by, they'd stop their mower, they'd take their hat off, and they'd cross themselves. I remember the German Lutherans. We'd walk by, they'd take their hat off, and they'd put it over their heart, and they'd bow before all those cars, 30 cars. They wouldn't move until those cars. In today's world, it's not that way. It really isn't. The lack of respect, and that's kind of a sad situation. Mm-hmm. And we need to, hopefully, that pendulum will turn around someday. I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Well, the world is changing, as you said, and I don't really almost know anyone that's going to be buried anymore. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know is thinking about cremation and kind of where do I want my remains spread, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
But then again, my parents' generation, and so many of them are already deceased, they were all buried.
Okay.
It was a rarity to have someone cremated.
In case you're interested, at Heritage Funeral Home, we have, our cremation rate is 51%, 51%. When I first started, it was 6%.
Yeah.
And of that 6%, they were all direct cremations. They didn't have any funerals at all. No viewing, no visitation, no anything. But in today's world, it's a little bit different. Of that 51%, I'll bet you 80% has full funerals with the viewing, the visitation, and that rental casket that you and I were talking about earlier. They're still very traditional here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's been 51%, I'll bet you 6 years or something, about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, when they're thinking, oh, we're going to take a quick break because I'm just about there. And then when we come back, let's talk about pre-planning. But also I know that people have they're a little bit leery about costs and some of the things that are embedded into funeral planning. And maybe we could talk a little bit about that, and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellen Becker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellen Becker Investment Group. And as you know, if you've been listening to the radio for a while, I'm always trying to bring to the surface things that we don't always think about. And I unfortunately have had several people in my life pass away and clients. And I just started to see this family dynamics around planning. And I think a lot of it has to do with their parents are older, the kids are spread out around the country, they have different viewpoints of what to do if they're from California or they're from Alaska or they're from Milwaukee. And they're also in a rush, not only because, I don't want to say that they want to get it over with, but there's so much more involved in it. And they're all flying in from different places, and they're all working. Yeah. And so it's like, how do we do this the quickest way we possibly can? Because we still have to sell mom's house. We still have to meet with the attorney. And two of the kids are out of the state. One of the kids is in the state. And there's a lot of pressure. And sometimes, because there hasn't been any planning done, they're trying to figure out, how can we do this the most efficiently way, the most effective way, the kindest way, and the most cost-effective way.
That's correct, yep. There's also something that you and I, we haven't talked about at all, and that's going on state aid, like Title 19 and things like that. So a lot of people, when they come in to pre-plan their funeral, Karen, they also have the opportunity to prepay for their funeral. When they prepay for their funeral, they can lock in those prices. They can hold those prices forever.
Ever.
Okay. The money that fund makes will help offset the raises. And of course, in today's world, it's flopped up, you know, because you're only making 3% on your money, or 1% not too long ago. So.
Well, and it doesn't really matter when you pass away, if you've gone to Florida, that policy is independent of the funeral home.
Yes.
You may not get the same thing you picked out because it's a different place.
Correct.
But that policy goes with you.
Right.
And if there's anything over and above that they don't use, that goes back to the kids. It goes back into the estate, which is nice. And the reason I like pre-planning is because you pre-plan so that nobody else has to do it and there's no disagreements. If you pick a certain quality of materials that you want and the things that you want within a price range, the kids know where to stay. But honestly, I in my own family, I remember my dad did a lot of carpentry work, and one of my siblings said, well, we got to get Dad the best box that there is, because he was a carpenter.
Sure.
And then we said, but Dad wouldn't want to spend that much money. And, you know, so there was this, feelings got so embedded into making the decisions. That's what I want to say.
And that's why it's good that it comes right from you, that you're right there. And your daughter's right next to you, helping you pre-plan.
Yes.
And so that she sees it too, and she's
those
there.
Those decisions are
absolutely
made.
Absolutely. When you pre-fund it, you use a trust. It's called a irrevocable funeral trust, meaning you can't change your mind, and that money in the state of Wisconsin needs to be paid to a third party. It cannot be paid to that funeral home. It's paid to a third party. They hold it. Okay. We use an insurance type of a product through Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, and that's where our trusts are held. That money is held by an independent party. If Heritage goes under, if Heritage is bought by another funeral home and they don't like Heritage anymore, they can go to a different funeral home. It's your money to go to your funeral home, no matter where that is, whether it's here or in North Carolina. That money can go with you. It's held in trust. So.
I did read something at one point that children tend to spend about 30% more than their parents would have spent, because it's an emotional-driven decision rather than what their parents might have spent. But everything, like everything else, funerals are going up and up in price as well. It's just everything around us.
Certainly.
I mean, cars. Look at cars or anything else. And so it does make sense to pay. And you can pay on a monthly basis, I believe it is, or an annual basis, or you can pay up front, which is a real advantage.
It is, no doubt about it. And quite frankly, if you are making payments, if you need to make payments, because there's some people that are truly in needing of payments, when the Lord calls you home, you know, the magic of insurance, your funeral then is paid for.
Yes.
So that's one of the positives. The drawback is if you live the whole time, you're paying more for that funeral than it was really worth originally.
I mean, you could have that policy for 30 years.
Exactly.
Which is different. And you mentioned Medicaid. Medicaid is a good thing, too, because a lot of people have to downsize the amount of money that they own. They have to gift it away. They have to spend it down. And if you buy a funeral policy, that's right off the top.
It is. Yep, absolutely.
And in a funeral policy, you can also, if you have a lot of family that's out of town, your kids all live out of town and grandkids, you literally can build more into that policy to pay for the food. You can pay for airfare. You can use it for the funeral.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because so many people now do have family members that are out of state, and they might not be able to afford those airfares to come back for the funeral.
Yeah. If the money is not spent, for Medicare, if the money is not spent on the funeral, it cannot be returned to the state of Wisconsin. It cannot be returned to the estate. It needs to be returned to the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So if you don't spend all the money in the trust, it goes back to the state. And some families are kind of surprised at that, particularly, quite frankly, if they downgrade the services in some ways, you know, thinking that they might be getting some money back. And there's no change.
That.
There's no change if you're on Title 19 or on Medicaid.
Yeah. So we only have a few minutes left. What would you leave my listeners with? We've got about 3 minutes left. What would you leave them with in terms of, they've been listening to us today talking about the planning and talking about family issues and dynamics, of course. And we always say sitting down with your family and discussing your estate plan so everybody knows what their job will be or whose job is what. And then also sitting down at that same time, and the next question is, well, this is what happens when I die with my money. This is what happens with all my home and my cars and all of my jewelry and all of these things. The next question that begs to be asked is, well, what happens to you?
Exactly. There's no doubt about it that what you need to do is talk with your family first, and then come in and talk to your funeral professional and write it down. You got to write it down and sign it and date it. And things change over time. I get it. And we can, and we're flexible with things like that. And when you put the monies down, it's there. No one can touch it. You could owe Frederick Hospital $2 million, and they can't come after that money because it's in a trust. That is a positive. I can't use it to fix my driveway, okay? it can only be used for your funeral at your funeral home, and that's the magic of taking care of things ahead of time. So very often, there's families that are with second marriages or, quite frankly, even living together forever. Whether you believe it or not, when you're living with someone for 10 years, you still don't have the right to cremate that body.
Right.
It has to be blood. There has to be a line of in blood to take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you've taken the steps, what we talked about a little bit earlier, and you sign one of those authorizations for final disposition.
That's
instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be true, especially, I think, if you're living together for same-sex marriages, for whatever. That's another problem that I've seen where you are together and you think you can just make those decisions, but you really don't have the right to do that. So in
That's
all
correct.
Cases,
mm-hmm.
same-sex marriages and non-marriages, people who are living together, like you said, mm-hmm. and a lot of older people live together and don't get married. And so it's a good thing. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to Ellen Becker Investment Group. Come and once again talk to Mark. He is the owner and president of Heritage Funeral Home. You can reach him at 414-761-2750. And just come in and talk. Figure out what's best for you, because that's all that we really want. We really want what's best for you and what's best for your family. Mark, thank you so much for being a guest today. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. You have a great weekend. Bye.